Legions of Space.
The Randall's Ticket Window is now open. Text the keyword GAME to 512-451-5653 to enter to win a pair of tickets to this weekend's game. That's 512-451-5653 to receive the contest sign-up link right to your phone. You could win a pair of tickets to see UT take on Iowa State from our partners at Randall's and the Horn.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. It is the Bat Tuesday. We play songs from our sister station, The Bat. And my man BK gets to pick those jams. He is the DJ of The Bat Tuesday. And you go right to the website and just grab it. You grab them randomly, right? You don't just say, ooh, I like this song, like the way it sounds. You just grab them randomly.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got
pretty good.
The Bat playlist on the right side of the page, which shows everything they've recently played on the air. So I just look at that list and pick something from that.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Y'all familiar with this one?
Oh,
I
yeah.
I think I remember this song.
You know this one.
Yeah, but I can never place the artists. That's why.
It's very 80s that way.
It's so 80s that way.
There's so many one-hit wonders.
And there's so many unknown. Like, this is another unknown artist, I bet, too.
I think it is, right?
It's not very well known.
No.
They're pretty known.
Well known?
NXS or something like that.
Give me the name.
Depeche Mode.
Depeche Mode. Every time I say NXS, I mean Depeche Mode.
Depeche Mode is well known, even though I don't know any Depeche Mode songs off the top of my head. But I know the name,
yeah.
Depeche Mode.
What else do they do?
Maybe because the name is so unique, you never forget it. Because
I know this. But
Enjoy the Silence was another one of their big ones. They had one other
Sing
huge
that for me.
One.
No, don't no. let it. Don't
Sing
no,
that for me, BK.
No.
What do you got?
Don't encourage him to
All
sing.
Right, you ready for my voice?
Oh, no.
Yeah. No, this isn't your voice. Oh, I like this one.
This
I like this one more.
Also playing the instruments here.
Yeah, right.
This is all me.
Rod, you know this.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
I thought
you
I
do.
Did.
Yeah, you do.
I thought I did. I don't.
I promise you, you do. Ready?
I don't know it. I don't think I know it.
Lyrics are about to come.
It sounds like I would know it. But
you know this.
I don't know. Where's my CTE?
You know it!
No.
Really? You know it.
I don't know it.
You know it.
I don't know this song. I don't know it.
Don't you hate when people do that?
Yeah, I know.
You know it!
How dare you?
We listened to this song together. We had that restaurant together. How do you not remember?
It starts like a different kind of song, but maybe it's because the 80s and a lot of songs start like that.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's just, I haven't heard the chorus. Maybe the chorus is really recognizable.
They've got a lot of interesting sounds, Depeche Mode. Like all of their songs are kind of like that.
Okay, so maybe I'm just thinking of another Depeche Mode song.
Cocaine was a hell of a drug.
Cocaine still is a hell of a drug.
Yeah, but it definitely was in the 80s when all this stuff we're talking
accessible.
About was created.
It was just more accessible.
Yeah, that's true.
And it wasn't taboo in the 80s. People would just pull out their cocaine and like ask you if you wanted to go to enjoy some in the
Stay
bathroom.
Away from that, kids. Worthless drug.
Now at least it's taboo as it should be. You don't, you don't just break it out in a public place to get BK's like, what?
Speak for
it's
yourself.
Not.
God.
See,
what's going on?
Right,
what's going on Rainy Street?
We're moving on. All right.
We were 6 feet apart.
We're moving on. Okay, gentlemen, the college football playoff rankings, the first college football playoff rankings of the season will be released tonight. And it's got actually an interesting conversation that's developing, and it's about the Aggies, gentlemen. What are they going to do with the Aggies and Florida? Because there are a lot of
That's the reason I'm wearing a Sox hat right now.
No, it is. It's because right now we know that the Florida's only loss was to the Aggies, right? That was a last-second field goal by the Aggies to get the big win there. But Florida is probably going to be ranked. A lot of people are predicting potentially ahead of A&M. You know, Florida's, I think all their wins have been by at least 14 points. Of course, talk about their one lone loss they have to the Aggies. They got a Heisman contender in Kyle Trask. Scored at least 38 points in every game. They're rolling. They look good. But
Pitts is coming back.
Kyle Pitts is coming back.
It's not like
right?
he's gone.
Should they be ranked ahead of the Aggies, though? Should there be more should there be more placement in terms of the data points on that head-to-head win the Aggies have over Florida?
Well, since they got the diagnosis, I'm going to let it go. They're a better team than Texas A&M.
Florida is.
My eyeballs tell me that watching a bunch of both of them.
That's That seems to be the consensus.
Right. So this week, the opening one, should Texas A&M be ranked ahead of them? Well, they each have one loss, and Texas A&M beat them head-to-head. So, yeah, they should be ranked ahead of them.
Okay.
They should be ranked ahead of them all year long. Unless A&M loses another game, I don't know how the hell you put Florida ahead of them.
No, that's when it becomes an argument, and it's a tough argument on my side if we get to the very end and they both have one loss,
yeah,
and I tell you, well, you know, I'm just telling you my eyeballs, and all of our eyeballs tell us they're a better team. That may be the case, but if they end up both with one loss, then that's going to be a tough sell.
Is Oklahoma ahead of Iowa State in the polls?
They are in the AP polls.
In the AP polls.
OU is 14, Iowa State is 15.
Okay.
I don't think the Sooners are going to be ahead of the Cyclones in the college football playoff poll. The CFP usually does a pretty good job of taking head-to-head in consideration. Now, I will say, 2014, the inaugural year of the college football playoff, that was the year in which Baylor and TCU both ended the season with one loss,
yeah,
and there was no conference championship game, and neither of those teams made it into the college football playoff, right? Ohio State got the nod as the 4 seed. They ended up winning the national championship. Tom Herman on that staff, we all know this. But I think on every single college football playoff ranking, the committee had TCU ranked ahead of Baylor until the very last one. And Baylor beat TCU in the head-to-head. I think it was 61-58. It was an epic game. It was awesome in Waco. But, yeah, the committee every single week had TCU ranked ahead of Baylor because I think the eye test, you could make the same argument with Florida and Texas A&M. The eye test told a lot of people that TCU's probably the better football team, and that game was played in Waco, and Baylor barely won. So let's put TCU ahead of them. But the final college football playoff ranking, it didn't matter because neither team got in, but they finally made the switch and put Baylor in over TCU. So maybe tonight you do see Florida ahead of Texas A&M because I guess that has happened before, but I sure as hell don't know. Like, I see watching college football this past weekend, you know, they were asking every color commentator their thoughts on their top six, right? Rank your top six. And ESPN was putting it and Fox was putting it as a graphic during the telecasts. And so many people had Florida ahead of Texas A&M, and I don't know how you can do that when they played head-to-head and the other team won. I feel like you have to give the nod to Texas A&M right now.
Yeah, well, with the records being exactly what they are, with the one loss, it should be with both teams. I'm with you. I don't see how you can justify it. We'll see if the college football playoff ranking decides to basically give the middle finger to the Aggies.
Yeah.
To me, that's what it would be. It would be saying that we know that Florida – it would be almost a brand issue, like a brand recognition, that the Florida brand, even though you guys are even right now, and yeah, you do have the win over them head-to-head.
It'd be a
you
style, both have one style losses. Too.
Yeah, but we like the style of Florida. We like their brand of football. We like that brand, period, Florida over you. And I think it's a dangerous territory to get into when, you know, ultimately it should be decided by, especially if you have a head-to-head, let that decide it ultimately. You don't even have to have it be a debate at all.
Yeah.
And that's what it should. I mean, if we're going to make a rule, that's what it should be, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a rule in the college football playoffs that head-to-head
never has been.
Always trumps?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Florida State played Nebraska in 93, and I love that Florida State team, but they lost to Notre Dame head-to-head, and they each had one loss. I mean, that's been going on for a long time. It's a popularity contest.
Yeah, and I also think, and the committee would never admit to doing this, but I think they try to create some controversy, right? They want people to talk about these rankings. They want more people to be intrigued and enticed to watch these games down the stretch. So maybe you make a decision like that to tick some people off, and, oh, they got Florida ahead of A&M, even though the Aggies beat Florida? Like, that's obviously a big talking point that people are going to use a lot over the next couple of days and weeks. So I think sometimes whether or not that's morally right is a different discussion, but I think sometimes they'll do that. Whatever can generate some conversation, they'll do stuff like that.
No, you're right about that.
We've seen enough of them that there have been some cases on that.
Yeah.
Because like you said, BK said with TCU and Baylor, like nothing really happened for them to flip that at the very end that I remember.
No.
They just decided to do the right thing.
They were setting you up the whole time and teasing you and then said, we... 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, different opinion.
And they lucked out, right, because Ohio State won their conference championship
game. It didn't matter.
I think 59-0, right? So they did enough to get in, and meanwhile TCU and Baylor were just on the outside looking in. But if Ohio State lost that game, That would have been something, right? Having to pick between Baylor and TCU. Like, well, Baylor beat TCU, but you've had TCU ranked ahead of them all year long, and now neither team played, and you're going to put Baylor in over TCU? Like, that would have been a huge problem. The committee dodged a serious bullet that year, and I'm kind of glad they did. Number one, I'm relatively anti-Baylor and TCU. But number two, that was the first year of the college football playoff, and that would have been disastrous, and people would have been like, oh, let's get rid of this thing. Let's go back to two teams or something ridiculous like that, which obviously would have not been good for the sport.
Yeah, then Ohio State wins the damn thing.
Yeah, I don't have to say, well, yeah, so they got it right, right? No one criticized them. It's like, oh, you chose the right team to get in as that fourth spot.
So I think
we all agree Clemson's probably going to be the highest one-loss team in this thing, right? The top three is going to be, in some form or fashion, Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State. I think that's probably your order. I think maybe if Ohio State blew out Indiana this past weekend, maybe Ohio State would have been ahead of Notre Dame, which would have been controversial as well because Notre Dame's got the best win out of any of those teams beating Clemson. Mm-hmm. But because that game was so close, I think Notre Dame's probably going to be number two, Ohio State number three, and Clemson number four. I mean, it sort of feels like that's going to be the top four, right? Yeah. It'd be a pretty big shock if anything else happened tonight.
I think the only four.
Yeah, the only controversial thing was talking about, you know, the Aggies in Florida. That's outside the top four. I think the top four is going to be pretty easy for the selection committee. The top 10, I'm sure, will have a lot of different conversations because you got the BYU and the Cincinnati conversation. Mm-hmm. And I don't know exactly how deep they're going to allow them to infiltrate the top 10. I mean, I don't know how much they respect BYU and Cincinnati yet. In the resumes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big conversation, right? Where do those teams land? Like,
Are they close enough to be a threat?
Of course we can get chaos, but yeah, I mean, do those teams have a chance unless everybody else loses, or do we have Cincinnati ranked ahead of like an Oregon to where, because the Pac-12 so bad this year and because the Pac-12 started so late, are we putting an unbeaten Cincinnati team over an unbeaten Oregon team, which most years would be unheard of, but maybe this is the year where somebody actually hears that thing. And it's weird to see, I'm looking at ESPN's FPI prediction, which this is a total guess, it's a formula, I guess it's more than a guess, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything. But Cincinnati is actually given the fourth best chance to make the college football playoff this year.
Hmm.
Alabama's number one, 94.2%, guys. I mean, come on, you didn't think they were going to miss this thing 2 years in a row,
which means
you?
They can get a loss and they'll still get in.
Because they'll still probably win the SEC and they'll be okay. Yeah. Even if they lose that SEC title game to Florida, they're still probably going to get in. Ohio State is second at 71%. Notre Dame is third at 59%. And then they actually have Cincinnati ahead of Clemson on these ranking, guys, in terms of the FPI predictor. That's given Notre Dame some love, maybe giving the Fighting Irish
when I see
a chance to beat Clemson a second time this year. Yeah, I mean, I feel like if those four teams, if the top four teams that we expect to be the top four teams tonight win out, or at least they play the way we expect it to play, right? Someone between Clemson and Notre Dame has to lose because they're going to play each other, but I think most people expect Clemson to win that rematch. If that does happen, then I think your Final Four is set. But the question obviously becomes, if Ohio State loses, if Notre Dame wins the rematch in the ACC championship between Clemson and them, then what happens, right? Do you put Texas A&M in, or do you put Cincinnati in? We're not going to have that answer tonight, but if Cincinnati is number five and A&M is number six, then we kind of get a little bit of insight, I think, into what the committee could be thinking this year.
What about a 4-5-0 Oregon team?
Yeah, that's...
Like, this year is going to be so different because of all that stuff.
But if the Pac-12 wasn't so weak, at least Oregon would have, I think, a better resume of those 4 or 5 games.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll have enough legitimacy in the resume. I don't think they're going to have enough credible opponents on their resume.
I don't think they will
either. In that short time span while the selection committees make up their mind. Now, if they postpone everything like you have suggested and like they have obviously discussed... We could be in for a different, we could be a different debate at the end of the season, but I don't know if they'll do that either.
Let me check my schedule for February. It's open.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Let's see. We got the Super Bowl on the first Sunday, and then that's it.
We're good.
We're good. Unreal. All right, before we get to a team that I think screwed themselves and actually ruined their shot at making the college football playoff because of a decision they made, Rod B., if you're trying to make a great decision, Where should you go?
Yeah, great decision. Don't ruin your chance right now to save big at Diamonds Direct, their largest store-wide sale ever. Now, last week, I know, I was telling you all last week they were going to have their biggest store-wide sale ever, and it was going to end last week. Well, they had such a great response, and they had so many people that wanted to come to Diamonds Direct and enjoy all of the great savings, over 20% off or more. You're talking about Black Friday-type savings at Diamonds Direct. They're actually going to give you a chance to get to Diamonds Direct. They're going to extend their sale all the way through Cyber Monday. So they've never done this before. They are in the giving mood, I imagine. It's the giving season where they're going to give you a chance to save big at Diamonds Direct. So take advantage of it, folks. And I'm talking about everything. The earrings, the rings, the pendants, the bracelets, the diamond jewelry, the fashion jewelry, the colored gemstones, the engagement rings, the wedding rings. Everything you see in Diamonds Direct when you walk in there is going to be on sale 20% off or more. They have never had a sale this big and never done it for this long. This is better than Black Friday at Diamonds Direct. So get on over there. You got through Cyber Monday. I'm a true believer. I went to Diamonds Direct. I needed an engagement ring, but if you need diamonds of any kind, you need jewelry of any kind, they can hook you up. And don't be intimidated. They got everything from the modest to the extravagant. I went there. I'm a ball on the budget. I told them exactly what I wanted. They got me the perfect gift for the perfect occasion, and they also helped me find the perfect ring for the perfect girl. So if you need an engagement ring, it's the perfect time to go. But if you need any jewelry, you know the holiday season is coming up, you can get that person, that special person in your life, a very special gift from my friends at Diamonds Direct. Go to DiamondsDirect.com to get yourself a consultation. You can just go there and visit them for yourself and discover the Diamonds Direct difference. It's where Austin gets engaged. It's where I got engaged.
So everybody keeps lumping two teams together, and that's Cincinnati and BYU, right? The non-Power 5 unbeatens. And everyone's like, well, does Cincinnati have a shot? Does BYU have a shot to crack the Final Four this year? I think BYU just screwed themselves, guys. I don't know if y'all have followed this story at all. So first of all, BYU's most recent game this past Saturday was against North Alabama. I mean, they're an independent. They're just scheduling whoever the hell they could schedule. They're trying to get as many games as they possibly can.
Which is why they had Texas State.
Yep. Which is why they had Texas State a couple of weeks ago. Their quarterback, Zach Wilson, who is a Heisman candidate, who might be a first-round pick in next year's draft, he always plays with a headband. Normally it's just a Jordan brand headband, but on Saturday he was wearing a custom headband that said, anytime, any place, anywhere. Basically sending a message to every other team in college football saying, hey, us here at BYU, we'll play you. I anytime, like any place, anywhere. Well, then we find out that Washington, out of the Pac-12, actually called BYU on its bluff, and they were ready. They're like, hey, because they had a game postponed or canceled, I should say, because it's the Pac-12. They had a game canceled due to COVID from the other side. So they reached out to BYU and said, hey, do you guys want to play this weekend? Both of us are free. And BYU apparently ducked that opportunity. Now, there's a lot that goes into this thing.
Yeah.
There's Pac-12 protocols, and there's a Pac-12 rule that basically says, hey, 2 days before BYU comes to town to play Washington, we could actually replace BYU on the schedule if there's another COVID cancellation and we need to pair two of our teams from our league together. So there is a way, I guess, BYU could say yes and then ultimately get screwed out of the opportunity of actually playing Washington. But they ducked this on their own, guys, and I feel like they're not going to get a whole lot of sympathy from college football fans for passing on even the potential of a chance to play a relatively quality opponent in the Washington Huskies.
You're right. People do not like to get into the details, and it can get, you know, binary pretty quickly. And so it won't surprise me if they take some heat because of that. But, Rod, this is not getting a pickup game together.
No, it's you're right. There are a lot of moving parts, especially during a COVID year, right, to try to make the game happen. We've seen this happen even at the high school level here locally in Texas, that teams, they had a game canceled, and they just said because another team has COVID issues, but they don't have COVID issues, and they want to find another opponent, another partner to dance with who also may have had some unfortunate situation happen to them on their schedule. So I'm not against it. I think it's actually a smart move. I don't know who's at fault for them not being able to get it done. Strangely enough, though, this narrative, I believe, hurts BYU in the college football playoff discussion.
It should hurt them.
Even though it didn't materialize and it never came to fruition, now people are going to be judging them because, you're ducking Washington and Washington wanted to play.
Anytime, any place, anywhere.
But you had a chance to add a legitimate opponent on the resume, another data point, I guess they would call it, and you didn't want to do it. And I think it's going to hurt them, strangely enough, VK. That's the world that we live in now.
No, they blew it.
Yeah.
They blew it. I mean, even if it wasn't going to happen, if you're BYU, you still need to say yes. You still need the optics of, hey, we'll actually play anybody, that's anytime, exactly right. anywhere, any place. And they blew it by saying no.
And they really totally need it, too, because that would help them.
Yeah.
Because their schedule, and I like this team. You guys know I was on Zach Wilson. I like Zach Wilson. I think he's going to be a top 10 pick. I think he could be a top 5 pick. And BK, he's blowing up right now.
Scouts love
blowing up right now.
I just said he's sexy, and I'm like,
as a prospect, I mean, like he's sexy. I take everything as a sports. I'm looking at it from a sports point of view, as like a scout look at him.
Your sports pants.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean it. Like he's sexy, like personally.
But just making sure
people
know.
He is. I mean, he's a good looking young. He's a good looking man. He's a good looking man. He's handsome.
He's not bad looking.
Yeah, the ladies think he's really good looking.
You got to wait till marriage, Rod. Yeah. Don't get any ideas.
What was he, a landline?
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Just because you admit that a man is attractive doesn't make you a homosexual.
Exactly.
Do you remember Costanza's line back?
Yeah.
It doesn't help.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I'm securing my masculinity.
Anyway, but they need that game. So I'm with BK. I mean, go ahead and say yes, and if it doesn't materialize, then whatever. But you need as much help as you can get. Shaka Smart has needed a lot of help here on the 40 Acres, guys. Texas basketball's here. We're on the eve. I'm excited about it. We're going to have some Texas basketball tomorrow. We're going to get in to this team and talk about that bandwagon. And BK, just don't save that. One and done up next.
I like that 5-star recruit at Kentucky. He's been here. And he's gonna stay here. It's one and done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
One and done time, Texas basketball. We are a day away. Happy Texas basketball eve. Merry Texas basketball eve. I started with happy, BK. Mm-hmm. Make sure to include everyone.
Appreciate
there.
That.
Yeah, that was just for you. But tomorrow night, 7:00, you can listen to it right here on the Horn. And they're going to be taking on Rio Grande Valley, so that should be an easy win for Texas. But they've got some pretty good games in there, including Villanova. They get Baylor pretty early, and then really it's just the Big 12. But if you're going to have a year where you're just playing your conference and you have a loaded schedule, it's going to be the Big 12 this year. You guys excited about this? BK, I know you are.
I can't wait, man. And I'm excited for tomorrow's matchup against the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotlines. Really looking forward to that matchup. No, it should be a lot of fun, man. I mean, this team is loaded with talent. They're loaded with experience. And you brought it up, KD. I mean, this Big 12 is
loaded.
Maybe as good as it's ever been. And that's scary to say because this Big 12 has been awesome many times over the last couple of decades. But it is absolutely loaded from top to bottom this season.
I feel like the Big 12 basketball, Rod, has been as consistent, maybe even more than football and baseball, in terms of how many good teams every year are in the league. I can't think of a down year.
Yeah. And this
maybe 99.
And they're saying this is going to be one of the best years ever in the history of the conference in terms of college basketball. I think, and that, I know that's a good thing for the Big 12. It does worry me as somebody who's on the Shaka Smart bandwagon. And as BK's mentioned, you got a lot of great coaches in this league, too.
Yeah.
And now you got really, really good elite teams in this league. You could have a good Texas basketball team that in other years, you know, ends up flourishing in this league. But this year, hell, man, they could end up being kind of middle of the road in this Big 12 conference, even with all the talent they have. If a lot of people who believe that Shaka Smart is not the guy, if they're right that he's not the guy, he still won't be able to maximize all this talent in a league that has so many elite teams and elite coaching on top of that. So that worries me.
It does.
If he's not the real deal, he won't be able to adapt to this superior play in this year's league.
So I don't think he's the guy.
I know, that
and
worries me.
And what did I tell y'all when I said Texas will win the Big 12 championship this year? Preseason.
You said it should.
I think I said they'd be in that game.
You said it still shouldn't play such a huge role in the long term projection of what Shaka is going to be.
Don't go. We got our guy.
Yeah. Don't fall madly in love because of 1 year.
Don't fall in love. Yeah. I triple that with Shaka Smart this year. This is 2020 in college basketball. In 1990, when I knew almost every roster and the nine guys on it of the top 40 in college basketball, this still would have been impressive. He returns 12 players who produced all the points, assists, rebounds, and minutes last season. Everyone. And there's a lot of different guys in there. Oh, okay, that'd be enough, right? Well, no. You bring in a special player in Greg Brown, and I think Greg Brown's going to be able to do a lot of good things for this team only in 1 year, but everything else is all set up. So even when they brought in one-and-done guys, it seems like they relied on them, and they had to be either the best player right away or one of the top players right away. But, guys, I'm going through the roster today. Andrew Jones, I'm so curious to see where he is physically because he wasn't as strong as he needed to be at times last year, but he got better and better. You got your point guard, Matt Coleman. He's a senior. Look, he's back as a senior for a reason, but he's got some experience, and actually a lot of experience, but some experience even playing in postseason games. I heard Craig and Jeff Howell talking about that. A lot of that's Big 12 tournament, but he has it. Courtney Ramey at times has flashed. BK, stop me. I'm going to go through almost every guy, so stop me whenever you want.
Oh, I just think that's ridiculous calling conference tournament games postseason games.
I laughed a little, but their point was
every college basketball player in the country has played postseason games. If that's the case, that's the worst argument ever.
Their point was he's a senior and he's played in a lot of games.
Okay,
so
that's a good point.
So check out Light the Tower from 10 to noon. It's a
love y'all.
It's a really good show.
Damn good show.
Here are two guys who I really liked last year, who came on, and I'm going to get to it here in a little bit, but it's one of the things that worries me about this team. This team should be good. My hope is that they're going to be as good, and the sum will be as good as the individual talent, and a lot of that's going to be player rotations and knowing when to have guys in there. And it took Shaka last year injuries to discover a guy like Donovan Williams, who is long and did some special things last year. He's got to be a lot more consistent. He needed to add some weight, but I like him a lot. I like Kai Jones a lot at 6'11", too, who is also long and is a guy who I know they've talked about a little bit, maybe playing him at the five. I'm curious to see how much weight and strength he's put on. But really, both those guys, how developed their game is. Am I overblowing these guys, what we saw last year, just with talent and ceiling?
No, I don't think you are at all. And Shaka Smart had a media availability yesterday, and he talked about six guys really competing for the five starting lineup spots, and Kai Jones was one of those guys. So it was Matt Coleman, it was Courtney Ramey, it was Andrew Jones, it was Greg Brown, it was Jericho Sims, and it was Kai Jones. Right, those were the six guys that Shaka Smart said he felt most comfortable with going into the season. So I think having high expectations for Kai Jones is very fair. And yeah, we saw some good things from Donovan Williams. We saw some good things from Gerald Liddell at times last year, right? Some of those guys who were forced into action because of the injuries that Texas sustained as conference play went on. So yeah, I mean, they have a lot of talent, and they've got some depth, too, and guys who have played in games before.
They've got lots of depth, and Jericho Sims is a guy that I'm most excited about because Jericho Sims, I thought he was going to be gone, and if he would have put his name in after his junior year, I would have been cool with it. Guys, he developed. He developed last year, and he started to show you a little bit of an offensive game and some range, and he had a little jump hook, and he dominated at times. I'm expecting a lot from Jericho Sims. Heading into this thing, I know Greg Brown's probably going to be the best player. Jericho Sims is the best player who's returning on this team for me.
You think so?
I think so.
I'd go with Andrew Jones.
Okay.
Just the way he came on last year, and I have to assume he's closer to 100% this year than he was last
year. And stronger.
And more physically stronger, more physically built. It's just an amazing story that that guy's playing basketball at all, and the fact that he might be this team's best or second-best player is pretty remarkable, too. But, yeah, I mean, Jericho Sims is a stud, and I remember there were reports as soon as he got hurt and we found out that he was probably going to be done for the season, there were reports that said, well, he might be done forever at the University of Texas, right? Like he might be moving on from UT. I honestly think if he doesn't get hurt last year, there's a better chance that he is gone, right? That he does go to the NBA. Maybe he's a late second round draft pick, or maybe just tries to take his cracks at the G League and see if he can find his way to the association through that. So you never want to say an injury is a good thing, but that might be the reason Jericho Sims is back, and that could be a good thing for this team.
He can be a pogo stick at times. I like him a lot. Definitely. And who else am I missing here? Okay, so yeah, you mentioned the six guys that are kind of competing. Brock Cunningham was a revelation last year when he came in, and sometimes you need guys like that on your team. Rod, do you remember all the charges he was taking? Yeah. And it was like he was kind
junkyard
of that bulldog.
Dog.
Yeah, that
yeah.
glue guy. Yeah. And he ended up making a lot of plays. I'm not talking about a lot of minutes, but he needs to be kind of inserted in there somewhere. For a guy who didn't manage the roster he had last year, he's even got more talent and more guys this year. And this is where that's where Shaka really needs to show some growth as a coach.
So let me make sure I get this right, though. So if Shaka does win this year with this team, all the experience and all the talent, it's like the old Chris Rock bit, right? He's not going to get credit for it because he was supposed to win.
Of course.
So he's not going to get credit for stuff you're supposed to do.
Depends on what that winning entails.
Yeah, if he goes.
If he wins the Big 12, I'm giving him all the credit in the world.
Okay.
Right? I mean, this team should compete for the Big 12 title, but if he goes out and wins the regular season title in the Big 12, that will tip the cap.
That's your standard right now as to what, if anything below that, you won't give him credit?
I don't know if anything below that. I mean, I'll also look at March Madness, right? Like, I think this team should get to the second weekend. They should get to that. So I don't know how much love I'll give him if they get bounced in the Sweet 16.
Okay.
But on the other hand, this program hasn't been to the second weekend since 2008. And then anything beyond the Sweet 16, right? An Elite Eight berth, I think you have to give him credit, even with this roster.
You start giving credit.
Sweet 16, I'll open the door.
And Big 12 championship.
Yeah,
but he could finish
regular
third.
Season
in the Big 12.
Regular season or postseason doesn't matter.
I don't. Yeah, postseason doesn't do anything.
It does a lot
for Craig and Jeff, but it doesn't do a lot.
There we go.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to make sure I get it straight because we're on that line right now with Tom Herman.
No,
right?
we are.
We're literally walking
along. So let's make sure we have it preseason.
Big 12. You can't just get there, and you got to win by 8 points. I mean, I'm listening to Chad too much. But you're my boy.
Yeah,
right? it's got to be. So I just want to make sure we get the details right about it.
Yeah, no, okay. I'm with you on that because so he could finish third in the Big 12. You can see the Elite Eight with this roster. I'm not worried about what happened.
Okay.
At that point, there'll really be some belief.
All right.
But one of the things he has had a problem with is getting the roster rotation set up, player rotation set up. And, I mean, he's got a lot of guys to choose from. I didn't mention Will Baker, he said, is markedly better from when they started practicing 6 weeks ago. This guy was a five-star who very late last year showed some life as a guy who could really come in and maybe help you out. I'm still hoping he can give you something. I didn't mention Kamaka Hepa, BK's favorite player, Drayton Whiteside. Here's why I bring up Drayton Whiteside, the walk-on. We better see a lot of him this year.
I hope so.
Yeah, because this should be the type of team that blows some people out. They get some separation. That's been a problem with finishing with this team. And the other thing I'll throw out there, with all the bodies and all the names I mentioned, do we get back to a little bit of havoc?
That'd be awesome.
Do we press?
Because
they did that last year when they kind of had to, and ironically, they did it when they had limited bodies, but it worked.
You're athletic and long, too.
With guys like Kai Jones, especially.
They need to run.
Yes.
I said this last year. They didn't listen. That's why they were very average. They need to run, and this roster sets up nicely for that. Mm. Also, Shaka Smart is one of the worst half-court offensive coaches in the country.
That plays into it as well.
You know, we don't need to have that conversation right now. But you also have you talk about Jericho Sims being a pogo stick. I mean, Greg Brown is that dude, and you want that dude in transition as much as you possibly can and finishing things with highlight reel dunks. Get out and run, because the strength of your coaching staff is not the half-court offense. So make things easier on yourself with easy buckets in transition. I think that's going to be huge for Texas.
I mean, you got a point guard with postseason experience to throw you lobs.
Jeff actually texted me. He's like, I don't remember saying that. If I did, it's pretty stupid, though. That's funny.
Don't worry, Jeff. I say stupid stuff all the time.
Join the club. Join the club. But no, I am excited about this. I will throw that out there as a reminder that he should be really good with this team. So we're going to find out. And here's also what we're going to find out. If this is not a good team, then there should not be any Shaka apologists at all.
Done.
Yeah, it's done, and let's move on.
That was the same thing with Tom Herman, right? It was like, well, you got with a veteran quarterback like Sam, and you've had all this time to recruit, and Oklahoma's down.
Yeah.
This is your year to win the Big 12. You don't do it this year, then, you know, we need to have a serious conversation.
I agree. I would say, and it's hard to compare this, but relatively speaking, this team is probably even more talented than the football team.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I agree with that.
Yeah.
No question.
I did, too. All right, Texas basketball gets going tomorrow. Tip-off at 7 o'clock against UT Rio Grande Valley, the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotlines. That is their mascot. We'll have that game for you here on the Horn. 7 o'clock tip, 6:30 pregame, if I'm not mistaken. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. There is one and done. We've got Off the Record coming up. Oh, yeah. We've got a new second richest man in the world. I'll tell you who it is next.
D.D. Mangudu.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get the right man comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers hanging out with Brad Kellner and Kevin Dunn. Time for another edition of Off the Record. All right, gentlemen, the Bloomberg Billionaire Index has been reshuffled as of late because we have a new second richest man in the world. It is now Tesla boss Elon Musk.
Whoa.
At the age of 49. Pretty young. Good for him. Elon Musk now, based on the Bloomberg Billionaire Index, is now the second richest man in the world. I think they record his wealth at $127.9 billion. Bill Gates is at $127.7 billion. And if he was second, of course, behind Jeff Bezos, everybody's behind Jeff Bezos, who is at $182 billion, according to the Bloomberg Billionaire Index.
Billions and billions.
Elon Musk's wealth exploded by $100 billion in the last year when Tesla stock, valued now at $500 billion, made them the most valuable automaker in the world. He's balling out of control, gentlemen. And how about this? Bill Gates, Bill Gates and Elon Musk have beef. I get billionaire beef. This is a thing.
That's fantastic.
I'm not making this up. This is a thing. So apparently, and it's pretty petty, Musk and Gates have publicly traded jabs in recent months. Gates criticized Musk in July for downplaying concerns about the coronavirus pandemic, suggesting he shouldn't confuse areas he's not involved in too much. That prompted Musk to tweet, "Billy G is not my lover." In February, Musk said his conversations with Gates had been underwhelming after hearing that Bill Gates bought an electric car from Porsche instead of Tesla.
Ah.
Which is pretty petty because, if you're going to buy an electric car, you Tesla.
Why not a Nissan Leaf?
Exactly.
Or a Chevy Volt.
So there you go. They got beef. And I'll say this. All the billionaires have seen their wealth explode during the pandemic.
Yes.
Bill Gates has made $20 billion since the start of the pandemic. Elon Musk has made over $70 billion since the pandemic started. Jeff Bezos has made close to $90 billion since the pandemic started. The Walmart family has made close to $50 billion. So the billionaires are having a good year during the pandemic.
The Waltons.
Yeah.
Rogers, Arkansas is only going to look nicer.
The Waltons, exactly. The Jeff Bezos thing makes sense, right? Because now everybody's at home getting everything delivered. So he just hit the perfect timing.
But they're going to have so much stock and so much other stuff. Now, what you're talking about, where that wealth, tripled like that or quadrupled, whatever it was, is usually their own stock. So, it does kind of make you want to look into it. I guess this is good news for Austin. Remember he announced they're going to have a Tesla operation down here. In fact, I was reading an article where there was an Austin restaurateur. Who is it? Kevin Lee.
Who?
He owns a restaurant.
What is that word you use?
Restaurateur.
Did you just make that up?
No, that's a name.
Restaurateur.
Restaurateur. Nice.
How do you spell that?
R-E-S-T-A-U-R-A-T-U-T-E-U-R.
Yeah, it's a weird one at the end of the E-U.
I'm not looking it up, so I hope you're right.
I'm looking at it right now. I am right.
Spelling and math shouldn't be involved in this.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't looking at it when I've got 20 things up there, so I just clicked on it.
You're the one spelling.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm not a good speller. But anyway, this Kevin Lee, who owns Asian Fusion, That's actually the title, so don't play Bill Parcells.
Is that the restaurant?
No disrespect. Nice.
Yeah, that's a restaurant.
Asian Fusion
apparently
is very popular.
Hosted him in this last week. So he's like buying a house down here.
Musk.
And all the, yeah.
Wow.
So Elon, what's up?
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Dude, it's crazy.
It's great for Austin.
In the last 365 days, Elon Musk has earned $100 billion.
That's nuts.
Like, what kind of world must that be where your net worth fluctuates by billions of dollars every day? I can't even imagine what that's like.
It's all about Tesla, too, because three-fourths of his fortune is wrapped up in the Tesla stock price, which is at the company's worth $500 billion.
It's the most impressive thing in my lifetime, is Tesla? The fact that this guy was able to start a car company. Like, think about how hard that is, right? Just to start and get a car company off the ground, that's almost impossible. And Tesla has already surpassed the net worth of Ford and General Motors, companies that have been around for 100 years. It's like all we've ever known with cars are those two companies, and Tesla, within the span of a couple of years, has already surpassed those in net worth. Like, it is unbelievable. And I get Tesla is like more of a technology company than just a car company, because they focus on, you know, the tech that makes those cars semi-autonomous and the batteries that make these fully electric. And they also get tax breaks because their cars have zero emissions, so that's a way to increase your net worth, because other companies have to pay for that stuff. But still, I mean, the fact that a guy, once again, within the last few years, has been able to start a car company and grow it to like the biggest car company in the world is just unbelievable to me.
And considering the type of car company that he built, too, this should really be a wake-up call for California. Look, there are some states, and you can argue Texas maybe is one of them, where they give these businesses and corporations too much of a tax break, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, all right, well, I mean, we want to be attractive, but we don't need to be a slut. California is on the flip side. Like, California needs to go out and actually date, because when they're losing people like Elon Musk, and Musk has been very critical of them, you know, just kind of find that balance. Here's my centrist Kevin take it there.
There you go.
No. Austin is the balance.
We need a drop for that. I think, guys, Tesla is going to end up as the biggest company in American history when it's all said and done. I really do.
Amazon will be bigger.
Amazon, Google. No, I get it. There's a lot
Amazon.
Of competition.
Amazon's going to be bigger.
I don't know. Dude, there's
Amazon's going to be Amazon delivering Teslas by drone.
Amazon's already buying up other things. Like, it'll be Amazon. But
if Elon Musk decides to combine Tesla with SpaceX and then they start sending stuff into space, I'm going with Elon Musk, dude.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a fun battle between those two.
I didn't think about the space thing, if you combine both those.
Yeah, like Amazon won't get into space. You guys, once the competition starts.
It's the great space race.
Like, you guys act like Amazon won't get into the electric car market. Like, he will at one point, because they're going to own everything. You realize that there will be no more malls and there will be no more department stores. That'll all be Amazon.
Yeah.
This is the first time in history that online sales have surpassed department sales. So you're right about the wealth thing, but Jeff Bezos made his first billion in June 1998. He got to 10 billion by June 1999. Took him 1 year to get there. Got to 50 billion by 2015. So it took him 15 years to get to 50 billion.
Hey, slow down.
Got to 100 billion.
That's the toughest billion.
Got to 100 billion 3 years later in 2018. Now he's at 180 billion.
Yeah, he's going to be at 200 in 2 years.
So I'm saying, like, his wealth is just like Musk, though. They're going exponentially. Yeah. So I'm with you. They're going to be head neck and neck. It's going to be a good race.
So hold on.
But we got to root for Amazon, because Musk is more international than Amazon. Amazon's homegrown. That's homegrown American company.
I'm rooting
company.
For artificial intelligence not killing us by the time we see what these guys can do.
He's at one, would you say, 180?
He's at 182. Remember, he got divorced.
That's my point. Didn't he lose up? So he's really at 360?
He basically lost three something. And by the way, now she's like top 10.
Yeah.
Unreal. Yeah. So there you go. Elon Musk now, number two.
Because he was sloppy.
Man in the world.
With the cheating, remember?
He was. Yep. Jeff Bezos still number one. Bill Gates now number three.
Bill Gates would be number one, but he's giving away like $30 billion, so give him props for charity reasons.
Well, he also started the pandemic. That's what the internet told me.
I don't know how much
credit I can give him. Yeah, that's a conspiracy out there. All right, it's the triple option with RBKD. Let's get back into some sports conversation. Let's talk some Texas football. More preview for the Longhorns and Iowa State.